Hey, what's up? It's Brian Scalabrine, the White Mamba, also 2008 world champion Boston Celtics. Now, you're listening to the Boston Big Three podcast presented by Ride the Wave Media.
Welcome back to episode 97 of Boston's Big Three presented by Ride the Wave Media. We made it. Episode 97, that's a pretty good rating in 2K if you're playing 2K or something. That's all I know. 97's up there. But boy, do we have some topics to talk about. It has been ages. It's been a while.
It's been millennia.
Like, Boston sports was resurrected since the last time we spoke.
I think that's a good thing. I think we needed to take a little hiatus to get Boston sports back because there's been a couple streaks going on, a couple new faces in Boston as well, too. And a couple people have said goodbye.
A little bit of everything today. So this might be a longer show, but it's going to be a fun one because there's just topics all four sports. Everything has something to talk about.
Wait a minute. The Bruins are going to get some love.
Bruins are going to get some attention on the show. The Red Sox, Celtics, Bruins, Patriots, they're all accounted for on Boston's Big Three today. Funny enough, Tyler's not with us today because he's actually averaging 4 blocks a game with the Celtics right now. He thinks he's slick. I know that's not Luke Kornet. That's Tyler Miller out there. Look at him. They're the same person. I'm telling you.
I need the side by side. Tyler.
They're the same person, man.
Yeah, I need to see that because I saw that in the Lakers game. I'm like, oh, he looks so familiar.
That is Tyler Miller out there blocking Dennis Schroeder. But yeah. We'll jump right in. Do you have any opening thoughts right off the top of your head? If not, we can jump right into Patriots topics.
I didn't really come with an opening thought per se. I'm just, as my opening thought is, as a Boston sports fan in general, I feel like this last year was such a funk and it feels like we're climbing out of it right now, especially when things are opening back up. I'm bought into the Red Sox. I'm bought into the Celtics again. I know I was kind of off of it and we'll get more into that later. The Bruins,
everybody
bought back into them. I feel like Boston, one of these three teams right now is going to go on a run. And then even the New England Patriots, what they've built together. I know not much Patriots news, but I'm excited to be back into Boston sports. You feel that there's going to be at least one of these four Boston sports teams within the next year that's right, going to make a championship run.
There's some buzz that's back in the city, which is a ton of fun. But we'll jump right in. I don't really have an opening thought. I'll come up with one for final thoughts. But the Patriots. It's almost draft season. There's a lot of draft speculation. I know Joe's already started doing his mock drafts over on Stafford and Matthews, but what the heck are the Patriots going to do? Because they've got two quarterbacks on the roster. They've got all their – basically, it looks like all their needs on the offensive end are met. Maybe add another wide receiver or quarterback, something like that. But we talked about the tight ends last show. They got every tight end on the market, it seems like. Guys that aren't even in the league yet are on the Patriots playing tight end for them. But what are your thoughts on what the Patriots are going to do? When is the draft? Do you even know when the draft is?
So first of all, I appreciate you saying that they have two quarterbacks on the roster. You're at least giving Jared Stidham a chance. That's all I'm asking for you to do. The draft is 2 weeks from now, depending on when you're here.
Oh, wow, it's coming up.
And a half. August 29th, your boy will be down there, Spike King. He's going to go down to Patriot Place.
August 29th is 2 weeks away?
Yeah, it's like a week and a half away.
It's pretty quick.
Yeah, it's right there. So I'll be heading down to Patriot Place. I'll be going down there. They have a draft party that's going to be happening. So the Pats have this 15th overall pick, right?
Right.
No matter who they take, no one's going to be happy. No one's going to be happy.
That's why I don't think they should, because then it'll be like classic Bill Belichick.
People are wanting them to trade up. I don't think they have enough to trade up, nor do I think Bill wants to give up too much to trade up. Could they trade down, the classic Bill Belichick? Yes and no. I think 15 is such a sweet spot right now that you're going to see these five top quarterbacks go right off the board, that you might see a player slip down. So in terms of the quarterback position, I think they still think they'll get Jimmy Garoppolo. I think that's still on the table. Mm-hmm. When you look at Jimmy Garoppolo, the 49ers want to make sure that they select Mac Jones or maybe they get Justin Fields. They want to give him the time of day on that first day And I wouldn't be surprised if you see a day two trade with Jimmy Garoppolo to the Patriots. I think that's still on the table.
Wow. I didn't even think about that just because Jimmy Garoppolo hasn't been in the news anymore in the last 2 weeks. I feel like there hasn't been any NFL quarterback news the last 2 weeks. I feel like
there's separate plans, right?
Right.
And it doesn't mean it's going to hit there.
Like plan A, plan B type.
But plan A is Jimmy Garoppolo, yeah. Let's say. They're probably going in the San Francisco 49ers. Like, we want to, if you want Jimmy Garoppolo today, it's going to cost you first round. Okay, well, we'll wait. Because I'm sure that on day two, when we offer you a second and a fourth for Jimmy, like, you're going to give us like what we want. And I think it's just a waiting game. So in terms of quarterback, and I also said this as well, I think they should roll with Cam Newton and Jarrett Stidham. See what you got in Stidham. See what you got in Newton. They can go right back into free agency next year. There's been talks about, they could still get, if Garoppolo stays with the 49ers, guess what? There'll be a free agent next year, or he'll be traded next year. You can always get him the following year. You can always, Stidham could end up being something that you're like, okay, we have something here. Cam Newton could shock the world in my world and be the guy that they're like, okay, well, maybe we keep this guy for another couple of years and sign him again because he's got something going. Aaron Rodgers, his name's been tossed around about being traded next offseason as well too. What's going to happen with Deshaun Watson's case? I mean, he's not going to play a snap of football this upcoming year, it looks like. But does that case go away, gets dropped, and he's gone? So I still feel like you could be able to get a quarterback next year as well as you're building this team up. I really think that if Cam Newton or Jarrett Stidham slides in, they're a 10-win team. They're an 11-win team. I don't see them failing. I don't see either guy failing. Sorry,
they got weapons now. They've got a lot more talent on the offensive end.
The difference is Jarrett Stidham or Cam Newton's going to win you 10 to 11 games. Tom Brady probably wins you 14 to 15 games in this. And the difference is when you get to the playoffs, Cam Newton or Stidham might win you a playoff game. Tom Brady's getting you a Super Bowl with the team that they have right now on offense.
Pain, nothing but pain.
So the way I look at the 15th pick right now, there's multiple ways. What if a wide receiver falls like a Devontae Smith or a Waddle falls into your lap? Do they go that with Edelman's retirement? What if Micah Parsons is right there at 15? I told you the big elephant in the room right now is Dante Hightower's $12 million contract. There's zero chance they're going to pay him this year. I'll be shocked if they pay him. And I still am sticking with it that he's not going to play a snap in the NFL this year. So getting Parsons would be the replacement for Hightower. You would have the replacement there. What if they end up going? So I said wide receiver. They can go a cornerback. So today, J.C. Jackson signed his tender, his restricted free agent tender. He'll make $3.3 million. He can still get traded to any team, but the Patriots are going to keep him because you're going to get the most out of J.C. this year. That guy is literally playing for a top contract next year. Guess who else is a free agent next year? Stephon Gilmore. He's talked about maybe playing with the Patriots and extending it, but it feels like in 2020, he had a little something, like a rift with Bill Belichick, but you're losing those two corners next year to the free agency market. You other cornerback you have right now is Jo'Wan Williams, and he was a second rounder and hasn't really done anything. Could he do something? We'll see this year. Do you take a Sutron, I think that's his name, from I think he's from Alabama. Do you take him? There's the other one, Farley. Like, I think he's from Virginia.
I got no idea.
Virginia Tech. I don't know either. I'm not a college guy.
You're talking to the worst college football fan on the planet.
So here you go. Do you take a wide receiver? Do you take a linebacker? Oh my God, it's the 12th pick and Trey Lance is still there. Do you trade up and do that? So it's just whatever's going to fall in their lap at that point in time. I feel like there's a set list of 12 names that they can go after. And if all 12 are gone, they're just going to trade back and say, fuck it. Like we can't do this. Or
that's
like
what I think they'll do.
We have the 15th pick. Hey, can we trade back? No. Hey, Niners, do you just want our 15th pick for Jimmy? Because, like, we can't use it. We're not getting what we got back. Like, that could still be on the table. So,
well, then they wouldn't – they'd know that there's no value to it, so they wouldn't want it probably.
Well, the Niners might want it in terms of the value.
Yes,
there.
But if you're actively telling them, like, we don't value this pick.
But the Niners might value that position because it's a need. Like, they could be an offensive tackle at that position. They're like, no, we're all set at offensive tackle. And maybe the Patriots get an offensive tackle. Maybe the Patriots get a running back. This is such a big question mark right now. I think they go defense. They should go defense. They should go cornerback or they should go linebacker.
That's a good point.
Belichick
going
is
for
a defensive
the corner.
Coach. People need to remember that. Belichick's a defensive coach. And whoever he ends up grabbing here at defense is going to be one of the top defensive players in the draft. since it's mostly offense going. When you have five quarterbacks going ahead of you, you'll have Kyle Pitts as six. You'll have at least two wide receivers going ahead of you right there. So that's already eight picks. That's all pretty much off. Then offensive tackles. You'll have an offensive tackle going. You might have a running back going. That's 10 picks right now. You're going to get one of the top defensive players in the draft falling to you at 15, whether it's cornerback or a linebacker. So I think that's what they go for the NFL draft. It's been very quiet for Patriots news, other than the Jackson signing, the Edelman retirement, which we can get into a second. Everybody's kind of just staying under the radar because supposedly the OTAs are supposed to happen on April 19th. No one's going to go to it. The NFL Players Association said, stay away. I just know that when Gunnar Olszewski did his like player signing thing at I Love Boston Sports, the day after that, he's going to go right into the 2-week quarantine, heading like not see anybody, just kind of be with like his group. I know he said he was still working out with Cam Newton, but Stidham, I just saw is coming back from Cali. He's going to be back in Foxborough. I think he's either landed today or he's coming tomorrow. He's moving back here. So I think it's going to be quiet for a little bit until the draft. I can't wait for the draft just to come here finally so we can see what our team's actually going to be. The quarterback thing will be kind of going away in terms of it's either Cam versus Stidham. Or
I'm excited for this era to be over, the Stidham versus Cam. I don't care who the quarterback is in the future, but as long as that debate is kind of settled, and
people are going to say, oh, it's such a cop out, Babs, that you shit all over Cam Newton and now you're showing support. I'm just saying there's no way you fail with the team that you have ready to go this offseason.
I know you're the type of guy, whatever product the Patriots put on the field, you're going to be supporting it.
I support it. Yeah. We'll put the hope stuff back up out there on bostonsbig3.com/shop. We need that back out there. I know the people. Here's the thing. People want to support Cam Newton, and I get that, and I see why. Sometimes I like to play the devil's advocate. I got to go the opposite way because there are other people that do hate him. Like, I'm the voice of the voiceless because I go out there and say it, and I'm labeled a racist, which is not the case because this has nothing to do with the color of the skin. It's just this guy is not a good quarterback. But I feel like me saying that, I'm one of the few people that Cam Newton sucks, and I'll publicly say it. And people are afraid to say it because then they get labeled a racist. You know what I'm trying to say? I'm not afraid to put my opinion out there.
Totally.
And you know what? I think that there's some players out there that respect that. They see that. You just put your voice on it. So
it works. But going back to the draft thing, just so I can get my thought onto it, you gave me a good idea. I like that corner idea because I think the Patriots had their chance to get rid of Gilmore, and I don't think they pulled the trigger on it. So I think they're going to kind of be stuck with him in the future. I think they will extend him at some point, or at least give him a new contract, definitely not pay him what he could have been worth had he not torn his quad or something at the end of the season last year. So you missed the sell high opportunity on Gilmore, but I think JC Jackson, I think you're right on the nail on the head with that one. I think he's going to play his brains out this season and get a top contract going into the offseason. Or the Patriots trade that 15th pick down because Bill Belichick. Also, happy 69th birthday to Bill Belichick today. You just love to see that. That's like just perfect round number. But the Patriots trade down from that 15th pick because that's Belichick. We haven't seen any normal moves from Belichick this offseason. So I think you got to see at least one normal thing, right? And that's Belichick trading down in the first round.
Him getting a cornerback in the first round might make JC Jackson and Gilmore play even harder because that guy's going to need to see the field too.
Right.
He's going to need to get reps and he's going to be learning from two of the best corners in the league. He's going to be learning under them, but now they might lose playing time to him and they don't want to lose playing time when you have a contract year coming up. Also, I find this very interesting. The Patriots are unofficially having like an NFL draft party. They usually have a draft party at Gillette Stadium because of COVID. They're not doing it.
Right.
They're doing a pre-draft party from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. And Fitzy's going to be hosting it at Patriot Place. Then after 8 p.m., that's it. I don't know if there's going to be a big screen outside. I'll probably head over to Six String and watch it. But I find that I was talking to GRD today. I said, it's kind of interesting that like the Patriots are not trying to do some sort of formal draft party for the fans. Are they doing that because they know that they're probably going to end up trading down? They don't want to piss everybody off. they're all booing there. Like, and he said,
"Remember when they got
Remember when the Celtics did a draft party and they got Jaylen Brown and everyone booed and yeah. everyone shit on them? Like, he's just like, they haven't done something formally since that, the right. Celtics. So I thought it was interesting. They don't have something together yet. And I understand the whole vaccination. Like, they don't even have anything for like Patriots.com and you're a season ticket member and you're virtual. They don't have anything set up except for that pre little draft party thing. So I thought that was interesting.
That is an interesting point, but we can move on to other guys that won't be in Foxborough in the near future. Is Julian Edelman announced his retirement via Twitter. It was kind of awful to kind of hear about it beforehand and then see the official announcement from Edelman himself. Like, I think, who was it, Rappaport or someone tweeted that like the Pats cut him and are like, what the heck? And everyone's just kind of like, that's like the Alex Cora firing from a few years ago. It's like he's fired, but he's not really fired. It was a mutual like part. And I think that's exactly what happened here. Like, Edelman wasn't cut. Edelman had probably decided this well before that, made sure the team was aware so they could spend that money elsewhere. Also, a good thing to take into account is that salary cap that you're getting from Edelman too. But Julian Edelman, longtime Patriot, longtime fan favorite, literally started from the bottom, 7th round pick, to becoming a Super Bowl MVP in his third to last season. But unbelievable run, QB at Kent State University to a wide receiver in Bill Belichick's Foxborough. I don't know how to put into words like what Edelman's like the guy, one of the guys that got me into football. Like, I remember it was kind of not a cliche, kind of a cliche. Like, when you go to Foxborough, you go to Gillette Stadium, the number one jersey we're going to see at the stadium the last 10 years was a Tom Brady number 12 jersey. I didn't want to like follow the crowd. I didn't want to be the guy wearing a 12. So I didn't have a Tom Brady jersey until I was like, I had one when I was a kid, but I didn't have like a new Nike one that I would wear every day. Until I was like 15, 16 years old when Tom Brady was in his 14th year in the league. But Edelman was that first jersey that like, I saw that guy. I was like, that's my guy. Like, I love wearing that man's name on my back. Like, I was a big fan of Julian Edelman, like seeing all the memories and the emotions from that, farewell video announcing his retirement, hearing all the radio calls, broadcast calls from some of his biggest moments. Definitely like everyone thinks of the catch or the Super Bowl MVP performance in 53, or just his first like real playing time in Super Bowl 49. I think he played in Super Bowl, the 2011 one. I think he played in that one, but didn't like get time. I think he maybe had a few snaps on special teams, but he was a starter, everyday starter by the time Super Bowl 49 came around and won the Patriots their first championship in 10 years, which was a huge deal. It was the first one that I really like was invested in, following the last two losses in the Super Bowl. So it was a good time to be a Patriots fan. It's definitely an end of an era, seeing like that big three, if you will, the last 15 years, and Gronk, Tom, and Edelman all gone now, playing somewhere else or sitting on their couch at home. So thank you, Julian Edelman. I know he had that awesome Foxborough forever video. We're happy that he's not ever going to go down to Tampa Bay and just crush our hearts. So we thank you, Edelman. He went until the wheels came off, and that's all you can really ask from a fan favorite, you know?
First of all, to see these players, Rob Gronkowski first, he left as a Super Bowl champion. He took the year off, and then he comes back and becomes a Super Bowl champion. Tom Brady plays another year. His last memory in Foxborough as a Patriot, pick 6. Julian Edelman then left all alone, and he had to play in 2020 with no fans. And that's the sad part, is that he didn't get the proper send-off for the fans, which he deserves. And
right.
I've heard people saying that hopefully week one, he runs out of the tunnel and ends up like, you know, carrying the flag or whatever it may be. So when we look at these three players, you know, someone like Rob Gronkowski, one of the greatest tight ends, if the greatest tight end of all time, the fun guy, everyone gravitated towards him. But he was all about his, you know, Gronk name brand. Like, that's what he was all about. We've seen that on his departure and what he's done down in Tampa. Tom Brady's Tom Brady. He's the GOAT. Very fortunate that we got to be able to see him for 20 years in Foxborough. And he's untouchable and he gets to do whatever he wants. There's no bad blood about him going out of Tampa. It stings a little bit because of what the Patriots are doing. But if this Patriots team could just get back into being a championship caliber team, then it's all good. It's all good, baby.
Right.
Julian Edelman was that story of just being that seventh rounder who actually had to play defense as well too. Yeah. And he went through some hiccups in his early stages of his career that he could have been cut at certain points, but he took advantage of the opportunities. But what I like about Edelman the most is that he adopted the Boston sports culture when it comes to all the other teams, when it's the Celtics, the Bruins, and the Red Sox. You see him enjoying sports, a Cali kid coming out here and enjoying sports. And I think that was his way of connecting with the community and fans. I mean, Gronk's way was partying and being that meathead Gronk. Brady's just Brady. He's just the GOAT because he's the quarterback, all right? He's already established the brand at a young age, winning those three Super Bowls and the undefeated season and then whatever it may be. So Edelman needed to find kind of his identity, and he has the JE11 brand. And I just think that, and this is what I hope. I said this. I just don't want Edelman to be a snake. And he ends up he failed the physical. He probably, and the way I see it is that he probably knew he was hurt. He's got to take the physical. He took the physical. He failed it. And they said, this is it. We're going to cut you. And this was all kind of pre-planned because they already had shit ready to go. Video packages, his Foxborough Forever t-shirts were already in production, which I will be having one pretty soon. And, you know, this was all kind of pre-planned, but all came out like kind of one day because they waited for the right day. I just say never.
All it takes
is one phone call from Tom Brady. And all it takes is says, hey, Jules, and it's September, October. How's your knee feel? You think you're able to come down to Tampa? Maybe take a physical? You want to play some catch? Just see how it is. Brady could lure Julian Edelman down to Tampa for a vet minimum. Doesn't even have to play. Many snaps can be used as a decoy, and Edelman can ring chase. I don't want that to happen.
You're breaking my heart, Babs. I'm picturing it happening, and you're breaking my heart.
I don't want it to happen. But never say never.
It's never happening.
People thought, oh, no way Paul Pierce would go to a different team. He got traded. See ya. No way. Gronkowski's retired. He cried. He's done somewhere else. Tom Brady's a Patriot forever. He's going to be a Patriot forever. He's down in Tampa, won another Super Bowl. Sports has kind of lost that loyalty. That's why I want Edelman so bad to just call it a day. Stay committed to New England, stay committed to Boston. He's the guy that could come.
I am convinced he is.
I'm convinced it too, but I just don't want my heart broken because it's been broken so many times. Have you seen
I'm
happen?
At the point where it's been broken enough where I'm confident saying that Edelman's not going
so
anywhere.
How would you feel if Edelman came out of retirement and played in Tampa next year?
Oh, I'd hate it. Just because he's handled his exit a lot differently than a Brady and Gronk have. You know what I mean? Like, he actually had that farewell video, that sit down.
Well, we
down
knew Brady was never retiring, so it's kind of
right. But he still left, though. That's the problem. Like, you don't have him going and sitting down on the field with his old gray beard. You have Edelman sitting on the place where he made some of the biggest plays of his career, just looking around the stadium without any fans in the seats and just kind of taking it all in one last time and hearing those radio calls, hearing those broadcast calls like I was talking about. He's done. Like, he said it in his video. He'd go until the wheels came off and his knee shot. Like, I think we've seen that the last three seasons. I don't know how many games he's played. It hasn't been a lot. And you definitely see that. And it's all been that leg problem. And I'm pretty sure it's on that same leg. And it's a nag all because of that nagging knee injury. And we saw that recently too, with a guy that's very similar to Edelman in his career, in Dustin Pedroia, who wanted to continue playing, who still had a year left on his contract. Like, just look at everything. 5'9", 5'10", just white dude coming off the West Coast, coming to play in Boston, winning Super Bowls, winning World Series, and they both retire because of a knee problem within like a month of each other.
I don't think Edelman has to prove anything. Like
he does not.
Like, is it truly like, if I'm Edelman, is it truly worth for me to come out of retirement to go play with my friend Brady and it's try not. To win another ring? He doesn't need to ring chase.
Cause he's an icon forever in the New England area.
So in terms of New England, like, cause Brady can do whatever he wants because he's Brady. And I think Gronk can do whatever he wants because he's Gronk. And I think that in terms of those tiers, like Edelman's down here. Like he can't touch the Gronk tier. Like you'll never get to a Gronk tier.
I'd argue that Edelman's probably above Gronk at this moment in time because Gronk's left
Gronk,
and he's.
I think the Gronk brand sells more nationwide. If you're not a Pats fan, you still like Rob Gronkowski.
I'm thinking regionally. We're Boston's
Edelman
big
doesn't
three.
Really lure other people in. A lot of people, and this was the debate: is Edelman a Hall of Famer? Yes or no?
He's a Patriots Hall of Famer chew-in, but.
Well, Edelman's going to be a finalist. Like he's because it's fan voting.
He'll be on the ballot. Yeah.
He'll be on the ballot. He'll be a finalist. But here's my take. I convinced myself on an Instagram live drunkenly. Tom Brady will end up becoming the person that gets Julian Edelman into the Hall of Fame. So Tom Brady's a first ballot. You know that's going to be in there.
The problem is Edelman's going to be on the ballot before Brady is.
Yeah, but so let's say if Brady retires after next season or 2 years from now. Edelman will be on the ballot for already 2 to 3 years. Brady might go to someone and say, I want Edelman in with me. I feel like Edelman's going to use the jail out free card at some point.
So magical.
But that, I think that Brady has enough sway to be like, no, I want him with me. Like I want him to be he's the opener and I'm the closer. Like that's what I want. And I think that Brady's going to want that for his legacy. Cause he's going to want Rob Gronkowski in there and he's going to want,
Could you imagine all three of them? On the same ballot,
and it's very possible because Rob might keep playing as long as Brady's playing.
Yeah, because those two are both first ballot easy. Edelman not, so that could line up perfect.
But does Gronk want that? Does Gronk want to be the headliner? Because Gronk would be the headliner.
Are you kidding me? That headliner would be all about New England, and if Edelman's there, it'd be all about New England. Tampa Bay would get brought up, but it would be all about New England in that moment.
Yeah. I feel like it would be fun too because Edelman crack some jokes, even if like that'd be the ultimate weekend.
That would be
if
all
three
time.
Of them can somehow get in there. Because you know Edelman's just gonna sit on that finalist ballot until someone pushes it in for him. It's gotta be Brady that pushes it in.
And then the Patriots would be playing in what is it, in Canton? Probably that Hall of Fame game.
Yeah, I think that against Tampa.
Yeah. Oh man, what if that be something?
So I think that in terms of Edelman, is he a Hall of Famer? No. I think based on his regular season stats, they're not great. They're not great at all. Yes, his postseason stats are fantastic.
Postseason stats are all time. Yeah, you can't argue that.
Super Bowl MVP. Deion Branch was a Super Bowl MVP. He's not in the Hall of Fame. But I would like I said, I think Edelman's the perfect guy that could come back every so often because he's not going to stay. I don't think he's going to stay here in Boston. I feel like he'll go out to L.A. Maybe he keeps
his place. He'll split his time, yeah.
Yeah, and I think he's the perfect guy to come into like a big Celtics game, like Celtics versus Lakers, and you want,
kind of hype up the crowd.
Patriots game when he's going to be a Pats Hall of Famer, of course.
Yeah,
he's got merch to sell. He's got stuff to sell. He can, and if you stay loyal to New England, and you let 2 years go by, I mean your brand is going to forever be synonymous because there are people out there. I've called it out that hate Rob Gronkowski for backstabbing the New England Patriots fan base in a way.
I'll go back to what you were saying about kind of the tier, like Brady at the top. We were kind of going back and forth, Gronk or Edelman in that two spot. And I would say Gronk's kind of fallen a little bit because he did kind of turn his back. Like, yes, he's still going to be recognized as a Patriot for forever. But as Edelman retires and doesn't go anywhere else, and
that
continues
his stock raises in New England.
Exactly. But
Gronk's overall, because look at what Gronk's able to do.
Right.
Fox, he was able to go on Fox. He'll do game shows. He does parties. Like Edelman doesn't have the pull to do any of that stuff. Right.
He can in New England, but everywhere else, not so.
So if you had to do, if you did ranking of New England, like athletes all time, like, so you can't do that based on like their play. Like you'd have to do it based on likability or I'm wondering whether that it's very interesting.
That'd be a good poll. We could definitely.
I know we got to figure out the right way to put that out there.
We can definitely poll some fans. We send a survey out. See what the people are thinking. But do you got anything else on the Patriots? What was your favorite Julian Edelman moment all time?
I think it's always going to stick with me. It's going to be the pass against the Ravens, the double pass. I mean,
unbelievable call.
Perfectly executed to Danny Amendola, back to Edelman, and I was there live to see it. So, and it was freezing out. And I mean, that was the start that year, that season, obviously was the start of the next dynasty, but that play, it's like you were down 14 twice in the game. You had to pull everything out, all the stops.
All to beat the elite one.
everyone says the catch and, you know, the catch in Super Bowl 51. But, you know, it's sad that he never got to play in Super Bowl 52. I wonder if having Edelman would have helped them.
Oh, you know it. You saw it the very next year.
I know. So, it's funny. I gotten to meet Edelman. I still think he hates me. I don't think Edelman really likes me. I think he just comes off that person. I hope Edelman loosens up a little bit more. I'm excited to see what he's going to do with this post career here. I think he's going to get into filmmaking, documentaries.
His documentaries have been pretty good. The Showtime one.
I just, again, never say never. What's Abby? Never say never. All it takes is one phone call.
It won't happen. The one thing I want, kind of going on that filmmaking thing, I just want a buddy comedy, like 21 Jump Street, like Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill. I just want a buddy, like 30-minute buddy comedy of Edelman and Amendola just being guys just going around.
Do you think Edelman can actually become an actor?
I don't think he could become an actor. I think he could definitely be a TV guy. Like, he's definitely a personality that people like watching on network television. Acting, probably not in his wheelhouse. I'm not one to say it, but
here's a great question. Who's going to have a more successful post-playing career? Rob Gronkowski or Gronk easily. Edelman?
I feel like Gronk's already in a handful of like just awful like Sharknado type movies.
I feel like Gronk might fade out eventually. Oh, I think he could fade out. I think he'll
fly too close to the sun.
Stick will get old quick.
He's going to get old soon.
But his shtick of being who he is, I think it's going to get old with people. I think Edelman is who he is.
Well, because everyone that's a Gronk fan is slowly getting up there in age as well. Everyone's going to grow up with him. You know what I mean? So
I don't know. We'll see. I think Edelman has a shot. Speaking of athletes post careers, Pat McAfee, Friday Night SmackDown. He's the color commentator on there. He just started tonight.
I thought you were going to say he was fighting in it.
No, he was a fighter in wrestling. He was in NXT.
Gotcha.
Pat McAfee. He did more than Rob Gronkowski did in WWE. More successful in that area. And now he's a commentator on Friday Night SmackDown every Friday night on Fox. I mean, that's successful right there.
That is fun. I mean, that all flies over my head.
Gronk has his hand. Yeah, but he's on Fox Sports. The channel Fox, every Friday from 8 to 10. I think that beats out what Gronk was kind of doing when he was retiring. Gronk had his hand in things, but it wasn't
him. It was like Gronk in like a six-guy panel. Yeah.
Yeah, like, no, it just says it's one or two liners, like has a funny joke, and then that's it. Like,
that's just too many guys to have on one show all talking at the same time.
Gronk's not going to sit down and be an analyst on Fox and like actually give his insight.
He should have his own TV show on TLC.
Nickelodeon.
Nickelodeon would be great.
Nickelodeon might be good for him.
Kids would tune into that one.
We got to move on.
All right. Yeah. Let's get out of the Patriots talks. Thank you, Edelman. We'll love you forever. Forever 11. Foxborough forever.
Ooh, forever 11.
It's got a good ring to it, right?
It does.
All right. But problem is it can't really retire that one.
Bledsoe about and. How ugly that jersey is that you're wearing right now.
Are you kidding me?
I hate those jerseys.
You're kidding me.
I get the symbol. I get it. I get why it is there. And I know they're supposed to wear it this weekend. The Boston Red Sox, for those that are unaware that are listening to this, Brandon Watabi is sporting the brand new Boston Red Sox Marathon
City Connect jersey. Where's the hat? I got the hat here too. But the City Connect jersey, it's for representing the city. No, this is a different hat. Same color scheme. Yeah. I've had this hat for like 2 years and it works.
It is the same color
scheme. Same color scheme, Boston, everything, 47 brands.
I get what it represents, but I feel like that's a jersey that you'd wear in the pregame warm-ups and not in the actual game.
Well, that's what the Bruins do. And here's my thing. Jerseys are exactly what we were asking for as Celtics fans who complained that all our city jerseys were awful. Like, we looked around the league and saw everyone else getting their fun city jerseys, and everyone's like, oh, why can't we have one like the Suns? Why can't we have one like Golden State? Why can't we have a cool basketball jersey? Because Boston's got tradition. They're fun. And all of our city jerseys have honestly been subpar. The last 2 years have been pretty cool with the banners and then the kind of like the Irish looking one last year. But this is what we're waiting for, is a brand new jersey, new color scheme, everything. You're not going to see it very often, but this is a fun jersey.
Why I hate it is probably because they're not wearing it on Marathon Monday. If they wore right. it on a marathon, if the actual Boston Marathon's happening and they wore it, see, why you introduce, why couldn't you just wait another year? Like, why don't you wait until the Boston Marathon's actually here next April and then introduce the jersey and say, we're wearing it on Marathon Monday?
Because they are going to wear it on Marathon Monday. And you know when Marathon Monday is this year, Babs?
When is it?
October, baby.
Soxtober,
and the Red Sox will wear it in the playoffs. If that happens, I would be stoked.
Like, that would be pretty cool.
That'd be
if
so
it's a playoff
cool.
game and they wear it and it's Marathon it's Monday.
One
that,
day.
That makes sense.
Right.
I
that would be
it.
So cool. But this is like my thing about this. All the old heads don't like it. So you're grouped in with them now. Get them out of baseball. Like, that's what's ruining baseball is all the people who think the game's too slow. They want to it's the old people, the old heads that don't like baseball. They don't like Tatis flipping his bat. They don't like grand slams on a 3-0 count. That's what baseball is now. Baseball is trying to be more fun, quicker paced, get the younger audience involved, and get the old heads out of here. And this jersey, perfect way to do that.
That jersey is a disgrace to Ted Williams, Babe Ruth.
There's not a thread of red on it. We hate it. No, these jerseys are perfect. I'm stoked on them. I don't think they're going to wear them ever after the weekend. I'm pretty sure this weekend is the only time that they're going to be wearing them. And one of their games just
are
got canceled.
Are they wearing them for all three games?
Not that I'm aware of. So I'm confident they're wearing them Saturday, Sunday, and then Marathon Monday, they're wearing the classic white home uniforms that say Boston across the front. Everyone remembers the David Ortiz speech. It was this is the city jersey, and now this is the City Connect jersey for the marathon and its color scheme. So I love them personally.
I'm interested. The Red Sox are either gonna like absolutely suck wearing those jerseys, or they're gonna absolutely be fire.
There's
no in between.
It's gonna be ugly seeing them being worn at Fenway for the first time. Don't get me wrong, just because like you've had the historic color scheme, you've had the home whites for the last 100 years. And you're going to have this yellow and blue kind of clashing with the colors of Fenway itself, the green monster and the red,
they look
red accents.
They look like a little league team in there
it's gonna
or something
look,
like that.
It's going to be funny, but I think it's going to work out. I think these jerseys are already like even the hats. Like I bought my hat the day they came out. I should have bought like a dozen of them. They're selling for like $150 on eBay right now. It's insane.
That's crazy.
People want this stuff. And this is like, they're sick. That's all I got to say about them. I'm excited to see the Red Sox actually on the field wearing them. But getting into Red Sox, we haven't been here since the Red Sox started their season. They had the best spring training record of all the teams down in Florida and Arizona, that might I add. So the best spring training team, regular season comes around. I go up to Boston, come home for first game that fans are allowed back at Fenway Park in 2 years. First game without Mookie, that fans are back in the stands. And Red Sox drop opening day, you know, got to get the shakes out. It was cold. You know, you're going to start the season a little rocky. It's all right.
People are already writing them off.
Jumping ship. Oh, then you go in the second game. You're playing against the Orioles. You got to start hot, right? Oh, you lose the second game to the Orioles. All right. Just got to win tomorrow. So it's not a sweep. Lose game three against the Orioles, and the sky is falling in Boston already. Like, send the team to Montreal, get them out of Boston. Nobody wanted them anymore. And I'm confident in this too, just to finish on the jerseys. They didn't announce these jerseys until the Sox won a game.
I was gonna say
they were waiting to win a game and then release the jerseys, but it works out. Sox started 0-3. Sky was falling. And honestly, I was there. It didn't look pretty. Offense just wasn't there. Pitching was as bad as it was last year as well. But then things got turned around. Brandon left Boston, and Sox go on a 9-game winning streak. So,
well, it made you a little nervous probably going to Minnesota.
Absolutely. So we'll get
am I the jinx? Am I a jinx like Spike King?
That's
like,
exactly what I was thinking too. I was telling all my buddies, like, I've been to every Red Sox loss this year. Every game I haven't gone to this year, they've won. So I was like, oh my God, I'm the problem. So I can't assume, but I would assume I'm the only guy that was out of all opening series and this.
You are currently under 500.
I am 2-4 right now, but I got an extra game in Minnesota because the tragic killing senseless killing of another unarmed black man in Brooklyn Center. So it's like 5 minutes north of Minneapolis, like 10 minutes north of where George Floyd was killed a few months ago last summer. Just a tragic incident.
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah. But that is the reason that the game was pushed back. And that was the reason for the doubleheader on Wednesday. So I got to go to two games, 14 innings total. Red Sox won both of those. Sigh of relief. Like, I'm
can
not
I,
the problem.
Can I ask you, as a person that went to the doubleheaders,
yeah,
do you like the 7-inning rule?
I loved it, especially for doubleheaders.
I like it too.
It's
like
so
it
much
too.
Fun because you get to the like the fifth inning and the starters have only thrown like 50, 60 pitches, and they have the chance to go a complete game, and that's basically what Nathan Eovaldi did.
It eases on the bullpen.
Exactly.
Like you can just. I think in the first game you had
you can
Eovaldi
get through,
the
you
first
can,
game
you
was Eovaldi the. Rodriguez was the first game, or Eovaldi was the first.
It was
game.
Eovaldi, then Rodriguez. You could
but
literally
you go,
use
you
four
go,
pitchers
Eovaldi,
that
you
entire
have your
game.
Setup, you have your your setup and closer, and then boom,
right,
all set
exactly.
The game.
Like, and that's what they did. I think they had, maybe had five pitchers go all three games or all two both games of that doubleheader. But it was a ton of fun. The guy that stood out, so JD Martinez on that 9-game win streak, hottest bat in baseball. He's kind of cooled off a bit since going up to Minnesota, but Alex Verdugo.
Yeah, Verdugo.
The main part of the Mookie Betts trade has made a name for himself, and I think he's going to get hot. He's already hot right now. I think he's going to keep this up for the next few games, probably 5-6 games. We got a good series against the White Sox at Fenway right now. I think Verdugo's on the brink of fan favoritism. Like, I'm willing to put him there. Like, he earned my respect. I wish this jersey I was wearing right now had a 99 on the back because of what he did this week.
Even in that loss to Minnesota, the 4-3 loss, they were down 3-0, and he's the reason why they even tied the game up.
He was down 0-2. 0-2. No balls, two strikes, three strikes are out, and he battled seven more pitches off. And then
it was
the 8th
pitch count.
Yeah, and then the 8th one, after being down 0-2, shoots into left field, opposite field. He's a lefty. So that was just an unbelievable at-bat. I was sitting right behind the Sox dugout when it happened. I was going crazy. I couldn't believe he had just done that. Two outs, two strikes, 10-pitch at-bat, and he shoots it in the left. And that's coming off the night where he hit a home run in the 7th inning, basically. It was the 6th inning, but it still worked out anyways. But then the game before that, the first leg of the doubleheader, the Sox are winning 3-2. They've the Twins bottom 7, so last inning, have two men on base, two I believe, and I want to say Nelson Cruz or Sano, somebody shoots a ball into left field right at Verdugo, who plays all three positions in the outfield, might I say, and dives for the ball, similar to Andrew Benintendi versus the Astros in 2018, very similar play, makes the game saving catch, because if he misses that ball, he's not going to get up fast enough and throw that runner out at home. So Verdugo makes the game-saving catch in the first half of the doubleheader. Huge home run in the second. And then that huge 10-pitch at-bat in the third and final game of that series, or fourth and final game of that series, to really tighten it up, tie that game up, was unbelievable. I'm a huge Alex Verdugo fan. I really didn't have any feelings towards him, but before going into the series, he's just kind of like one of those guys. He's always going to be attached to Mookie. But now he is, I like that guy. I've got a lot of favorites on this team now. And I think the Red Sox are poised to have some fun this year. And they did that already on a 9-game winning streak. And I think they can definitely piece some more wins together this week.
Yeah. That's a great way to go from 0-3. Everyone's pretty much writing you off. The casuals.
It's done. It's over.
Yeah. Everyone's like, oh, this is going to be a fucking long season. To have 9 straight wins, it got the attention of Boston sports fans in general. And even that loss to the Twins, it's 4-3. You fought back in that game. You tied it up and you lost in the final at bat. Like, it's just a walk off. Like, you can't be mad at them.
Right.
But here it is. You're back home now after this little road trip.
What can you do at home?
What can you do at home against the White Sox? Can you try to sweep this as well too? I was listening to Sports Hub earlier today. Tony Maz and Jim Murray were talking about it. And they played the clip from Cora after that game. And it seems like he's got a lot of confidence in this team. It seems like he is all in on the Boston Red Sox. He's building that confidence up. And I think that this team can find their identity very early in the season. And that will be so key for them for the long, grueling season that's coming up.
And I think what it is winning those close games and battling back. It's like, look at the Verdugo at bat one more time. That team was down already. They're down 0-2, down 0-3 on the season. Fight back into it, win the close games, make your pitches when they count, get on base when it counts. Like, this team's not hitting an enormous amount of home runs like the 2018 team or normal baseball teams of the current Major League Baseball. They're just not hitting a lot of home runs. They're playing that small ball. They're getting on base. And that's what is working. That was what was a key factor in that 2018 season. That's part of Alex Cora's managerial like outlook on the game. And it works. And I think the fact of having Cora back on the team, huge boost for a lot of the Latino Hispanic guys on the team. Rafael Devers had a down year last year. He's back. JD Martinez going crazy with the bat already. Alex Cora, if you think he has no impact on this team, you're just insane. He has been one of the biggest spark plugs, and he doesn't even play on the field. It just works having him as a voice in the dugout to go back to every game.
Now, how do you feel about their pitching going forward? Is there going to be a point where they're going to have to make some sort of move? Is there a time where you're like, we can buy in on this team this year? Can we make a move at the deadline?
Right. I'm not sure at this point. Looking forward, the starting pitching has been outstanding, other than Garrett Richards, who is just god awful.
But I give him some credit.
He had a good outing.
Last game that he played, he didn't have a bad. Yeah, he didn't have a bad outing.
But an error kind of ruined it for him from Bogarts. But looking at everyone else, Eduardo Rodriguez, not his normal self yet, but he can be a 10 strikeout guy a game, go 7-8 innings. And that's what you want. You have Nathan Eovaldi, who can still be a hero on the field. Martin Perez will hold his own. He'll keep you in a close game, not necessarily keep you winning or give you a lead going late into the game, but he can keep you in a game. He can keep you in a 1-2-3 run game. And then guys like Chris Sale, we're going to be back mid-season to late season. You're going to add that to this team, maybe add a rookie in Tanner Houck, who in the opening series against Baltimore was still outstanding, got knocked around late, wasn't really responsible for that loss, kept the Sox in it. That's all you can ask for at this point. And then you go to the bullpen. Matt Barnes has been the standout. UConn alumni Matt Barnes has been the standout in the bullpen, who's really earned himself that closer role. Cora won't announce or like give him that special designation of being the closer. But oh my gosh, is this guy lights out. Almost had an immaculate inning closing a game against Tampa Bay earlier this season. Took him 10 strikes to get through the ninth inning. He threw 10 strikes. One of them was a foul ball, but he threw 10 strikes to close that game. And oh boy, it was just fun to watch. But you look at other guys who are holding their own in that bullpen. Newcomer, Hirokazu Sawamura out of Japan. He is my fan favorite right now. I just got to say, I don't think I've talked about him on the show yet. You remember Koji, right? 2013?
Yeah.
Number 19 out of Japan. Walks into the Sandstorm song, the hype song, to just kind of get some electricity, get some buzz flowing in the crowd. Sawamura is not a closer like Koji is. But could potentially find himself in that role if Barnes pitched the day before. And the fun fact, the thing that really ties both of them together is not only the fact they're both from Japan, they have the same birthday. Like, these guys just have so many similarities. It's unbelievable. But the Red Sox bullpen will hold its own. I think it's much better, much improved than it was last year. Last year was just terrible. Just terrible. You look at where the Sox are currently in the standings. They've already won a third of the games they won last year. Granted, it was a shortened season.
Yeah.
But that's a big number. Like, you get to that point and you're like, this is way more games than we won last year. And then Cora passed a milestone recently too in that twin series. Just won his 200th game as a manager. That's very fast. That is very fast, because that was you won 111 games. You won 118 games total in 2018. You win 80-something games in his second year, don't make the playoffs, but then he's back already, and he's already won his 200th game as a manager in what is his third season as a manager of the Boston Red Sox. But Red Sox fans have a lot to be hopeful for. I think you can tell that just by my emotion towards the Sox this year. There's definitely a lot to look forward to. The playoffs are still going to be a push. They're going to have their down moments this year. You already saw that early in the season, but they're going to have their high moments too, like a 9-game win streak. I think there's a lot to look forward to, and I think the Sox have an outside chance at being a playoff team and coming out of the AL East. I'm excited.
Over 80 and a half wins.
It's looking good right now, right?
It looks good. I know.
Give him 84, 85 right now.
Where is the next trip for Brendan Watabe for the Red Sox?
I think we're going to take a little break here. I think I'm going to Texas at the end of the month, which will be interesting because that stadium has 100% fan capacity. So it's going to be a really interesting atmosphere because I've been like Fenway Garden, Target Field up in Minnesota. All these stadiums, they're at like 10, 20% capacity at the most. And it's just going to be like walking into a storm. I feel like it's going to be more people than a lot of people I've seen in the last year.
Are you nervous or excited?
It's a weird middle ground. It's definitely a weird middle ground because I haven't got my vaccine yet. I'm thinking I'm going to try to get it before I go down there because I don't want to put like any of my friends or family at risk when I come back. I'm going to be around a lot of people. So it's definitely not going to deter me from the game, but like no matter what. I'm excited also for the fact that going down to Texas, they got a brand new stadium that I've never been to before. It's covered. So that means no delays. Both of the last two series I've gone to, opening day got pushed back a day. And then the Minnesota opener got pushed back. So I'm going to get to hopefully see just two on schedule games in short sleeves. Hopefully it's been terribly cold the first six games of the season I've gone to, but going down to Texas, going down to Dallas and Arlington, Jerry's World, see the new Globe Life Park, Globe Life Field, one of those two, but I'm excited for it. I got a lot of trips still coming up though. That's probably not even the halfway point of my trips for the 2021 Sox season.
I forgot all about Chris Sale and the fact that he's going to end up coming back during the season at some point. And the most important thing for the Boston Red Sox is you are competing against these other Boston sports teams. Mm-hmm. You've kind of been pushed down to being number four.
Bottom of the barrel right now.
Even though you won a championship more recent than two of those other teams. And I feel like the Boston Red Sox have the right, if they can get hot in the summer and the capacity is going to start growing in terms of what they're going to allow into Fenway, people are going to want to go see you just because they want to get out. But people are going to see some hell of baseball games and you're going to win fans over, especially when you go into the fall time. So that's why I'm saying that Boston sports, as we just talked about two teams only, we've talked about two teams just so far. But you know, the Patriots fans are starting to be like, oh, we got something going on. Oh, wait a minute. Boston Red Sox are looking good.
They up to something.
When you're going to have one of those Red Sox-Patriots games later on, the same day games, you know, like September. So
September, October.
You know, we even just had the Boston triple header. Win, win, win. The most recent one was a loss. The Twins lost, win, win. But they had a win, win, win. When you have three wins or two wins out of three games, that's pretty good for a sports hit. It feels good
to be back. Doesn't it feel like
good when you're,
we're back?
It feels amazing when your three sports teams win in the same day.
It's awesome. There's nothing. And when they all play at different times too, like that day, they were, Sox were playing at 11 a.m. I think the Bruins played next and then Celtics had a nightcap, which was just, that was just unbelievable. That's all you can really ask for as a fan.
Let's give some love to the Bruins real quick.
The Boston Bruins,
bro. Boston Bruins. Tuukka Rask is back.
And pretty
good.
Played
his first game. He's back. He's good. I was reading a little subreddit, Bruins subreddit, and they were saying that, I don't know why all these casuals shit on Rask. Like, I'll shit on him because I still think Tuukka Rask can't close it out. I understand he's the best goalie in hockey based on his stats. This team with Taylor Hall, when I saw the word, I saw that name, Taylor Hall. I know Taylor. I don't watch hockey a lot. I know Taylor Hall. I know he's the first overall pick. I know he went to Edmonton. I know he's an MVP. But then I forgot completely about how he's a journeyman pretty much. He's been kind of going team to team. And the fact is, he's here. He's already scored two goals so far. And I believe two games or three games. He's already talking about signing an extension.
Sheesh.
And then even the other pickup, they had Riley and then somebody else. These are guys that are already making an impact with the Boston Bruins. The Boston Bruins were on such a hot streak. And then that freaking Lake Tahoe thing. After that, they just went completely off the radar. They were like 5-5.
It's because they tried to make Barbie Girl their theme song.
And it didn't work out. You said it could have been there. Is Barbie Girl going to come back now?
No way.
I hope
so. Well, it threw him off the rail, so it shouldn't come back.
It did. But now this team, this is the right time to finally get your shit together as you're heading in towards the playoffs. This is the right time to go on a little run. They played back to back against the Islanders. They just
who they couldn't beat
all season long.
And they allowed one goal, I think, in these last two.
In both games. Yeah. And you had Swayman in tonight. So Rask isn't set to do back to back.
Who is becoming a fan favorite, like really fast. Yeah. Like Jeremy Swayman. I think he's been called the swag man at the Garden already, but Swayman is a champ, could be a legitimate champion in the future. Who knows? But I think that's the future of the Bruins goaltending situation. Cause you got two young guys right now. Not Rask, but I couldn't tell you the other guy's name who's been playing goal for the Bruins. The last
Vladimir or something like that.
It's not Halak.
No, it shows you how much we know about
Boston. Yeah, we're not a hockey show, so but we'll give them love when they deserve their love.
We give them a 1 minute segment.
They deserve their love.
They deserve love because I had them in my 3-team parlay, and I didn't have to sweat it. I didn't have to sweat it with the Boston Bruins because I knew I wanted to max bet them. I said I'm going to max it out. I'm going to go all in. I didn't. I put them in a parlay to win a little bit more money, and it worked out. I didn't have to sweat that game. They're already up 2-0. I was like, oh, this game's over with. And against the Islanders,
They weren't favored. They weren't favored tonight.
They were not favored.
Because the Islanders have their number. But the Bruins finally broke through that barrier and beat the Islanders twice in a row.
But what makes this exciting with this little, now they're on a little like 3-game win streak. And speaking of win streaks, there's so many win streaks.
It's awesome, right? I'm telling you, we are back.
The Boston Celtics have a win streak too. Boston have a win streak. Now, I will say this about the Boston Celtics win streak. Some of it is a little fraudulent.
They
had to go to overtime against the Timberwolves, which
it took Tatum a 50 piece in overtime to beat the T-Wolves.
But I will say this, sports betting is funny because the game before that, they played the Knicks, I think, and the Boston Celtics were favored 3 points. And they were up 5, and the Knicks had the ball at the end of the game, and they just shot a 3, and they end up the Celtics won by 2.
Oh, I remember that.
And Scalabrine even said something about it. Game was the Timberwolves, and I believe the Celtics were favored 7.5. Let's say it's 7.5 points, just to say it. And it went to overtime. The Celtics got the ball back. They were up by 6. And Karl Anthony Towns, I think it was, purposely fouled Jaylen Brown and put him at the line to shoot 2. They go up by 8 points and they take a ridiculous 3-pointer. They know it made me think.
No, the house always wins. A little bit off topic
here. There is something in sports that these guys know the lines and they know what's going on and they talk it out. And there's got to be some sort of underground ring that eventually is going to come out that
they know when they're underdogs. They know going into a game if they're favored to win the game, like if they know that like they're supposed to win that game, or if they're underdogs and they know that going into the game. I don't know if it's like some stats guy or someone tells them, but they know that
even quarters, like say the Nets are heavily favored against any team in the first quarter just to win the first quarter.
Yeah,
they probably tell all their cousins, hey, bet against us in the first quarter because we're just not going to try. We'll try in the second and third quarters. Like, we'll just catch up later. Because the Nets always come out slow. Like, just sounds shit like that. There's just shit like that. But the Boston Celtics then also have to go on a 40-8 run to end the game against Denver, which is
unbelievable.
Win.
I've never seen a run like that.
Comeback. It's a legitimate comeback win right there.
That shouldn't have happened. Like, that was unbelievable. You were down 18-something points, and then you win by 20? That doesn't happen. In what world does that happen?
Then you play the Portland Trailblazers, which the Trailblazers are a legitimate team too. That was a back and forth. And Carmelo Anthony, I was watching that game, man. And I was like, he's like, is he a Celtic killer? Like, is he someone that's always giving the Celtics a hard time? Because I just feel like he has in his career.
He's still got it, man.
He still has it. He had over 20, 23, 24, 25 points.
Off the bench.
Off the bench. He was nasty. And the fact is, Marcus Smart pisses me off when he plays because he takes ridiculous shots, right? And I saw the stat that he passed Larry Bird all time in 3 points made for the Boston Celtics. How many fucking attempts does Marcus Smart have?
Way more. Also, the volume of three-pointers as well. I'd be surprised if Larry took more than three-pointers.
Sometimes a Celtics team like Marcus Smart makes me mad because you have a fast break and you just pull up for a three. It's like, what are you doing? Or you just force a three. But then all of a sudden, Marcus Smart will be the one that draws an offensive charge, or he's the one that makes this ridiculous steal, or he's the one that dives out of bounds to throw the ball back in. Like,
that
it's
play,
just, you see that.
Was it the one against Portland where he dove for a ball, missed it, and then got the steal on the other end?
Yeah.
I think that was against Portland. That was ridiculous. Unbelievable.
He ended the game like the right way, because then he was at the free throw line, and then he purposely missed the second one and somehow ended up getting the ball back. Like, it was just – it just worked out.
Oh, yeah, he missed the second one just to kill clock, and Dame ended up with the rebound and couldn't get a shot off.
They trapped him in the corner. It was a missed trap. Like, it was a missing trap. It worked out perfectly.
Golly, man.
And that's good player and coaching. It worked well together, but sometimes it's frustrating. Then you play the Lakers, but they didn't have AD. They didn't have Braun. They killed the Lakers.
But until
That bench stinks.
That bench is so bad.
They're so bad.
Babs, I can't tell you how bad they were. I was telling you pre-show that, like, I ran out of Wi-Fi on my flight home yesterday, and I watched the first half of the game. I was like, easy win. Like, chalk it up. I don't need to listen, or I don't even need to watch it. Like, I ran out of my free Wi-Fi on the plane, so I couldn't watch it anymore. But I had my brother Pat texting me, like, the score updates, and he's like, yeah, Celtics only up 15. 12, 10, 8, 5. I was like, oh my God, what the hell is happening? Like, you can't lose to that bench. Like, he was telling me they were playing all their bench players. Like, Brad had already subbed out the starters. I still haven't even gone back to watch whatever the heck happened the second half of that game. But I saw the stat line.
Yeah, boy, if you look at the box score and you look at the top half of the starters, and then you just look right below
starters,
that big
unbelievable.
Giant, that big giant line that's usually right there that splits the starters to the bench players.
It's unbelievable.
Those stats are so atrocious if you just look at it. There's no points scored, and it's all minus 17, 18, 19, 20.
Mo Wagner, the one that stood out to me when I finally got to see the stats. He played 5 minutes. 5 minutes. And he was a minus 20.
Yeah, it was terrible.
You can't have that. How are you in the league if that's your stat line? Like, you can't be playing against bench players on a team like the Lakers, who, like, granted, they're a championship team, but
they're still bench players on their
team. They're still
team
bench
too.
Players.
It's G League versus G League, and you're G. And that should go to fucking Danny Ainge. You're the one who drafted all of these guys that you hoard all these picks. And your hoarded picks couldn't come in relief.
Right. All right. Here's the bench stats. So Luke Kornet was the only, like, good, like, makes your kind of eyes pop. Our boy Tyler Miller, Luke Kornet, plus 17 off the bench. But then you get to the guys Brad subbed in at the end of the game. Carson Edwards, minus 18. Mo Wagner, minus 20. And then Aaron Nesmith, Shemi Ojeleye, Tremont Waters, all minus 17s coming in at the end of the game. That is bad.
We might need to get Semi back on the show.
That you just can't have that. Semi might not be able coming back on the show. He may not be with Boston in the near future.
We need to get Semi back on the show somehow, some way.
We
gotta shoot him a message.
Absolutely.
We gotta let him know. And right off the bat, what the hell's wrong with you?
What happened in that Lakers game? But
and then
we crap on him, but Jaylen Brown had 40 points. Against the depleted Lakers, yes.
I mean, Jaylen Brown should have had less than that, but he had to come in and score more points just to get them to win
but
the game.
85% shooting, did you see that part of it?
Yeah, oh yeah.
I just saw that part of it today.
He was on fire, man. I think it was like 12 for 13, 13 for 14. Like, he missed one shot. And, like,
he's just taking high percentage shots.
I think he was 3 for 3 for 3s, like, at one point. Like, he was good. He was in his bag. They knew it. They fed him all night long. They just let him go. Tatum took a complete back seat in that game. He was still at
30 points
at all. He put up some points in the second half early on, but
14 points.
I think the Lakers too, like Kyle Kuzma and Schroeder, they couldn't hit any shots. Like, no shots were going in.
They're helpers. That's all they are. They are helpers to Anthony Davis and LeBron James, and that's all there will ever be.
Had a lot of turnovers that game. I was listening. It was one of those things that I watched the first quarter, drove home, listened to the car, then I watched the rest of the game. They had like at least 20 turnovers that game.
Yeah.
And they're trying to work on getting their passing down. But again, now it's like this Celtics team, it's fun to watch, but they just have no depth whatsoever. And I will say this, Fournier didn't even go on the trip.
Yeah, so Fournier and Robert Williams did not play.
You get him back for Saturday against the Warriors, and the Warriors are on a little streak right now as well, coming into Boston. So this is a legitimate game that you're about to play with Steph Curry. Steph Curry has scored at least 32 points or more for the last month.
And he's actively trying to break Klay Thompson's 3-point single game record. So
yeah,
you got that going against you.
You're and the Celtics are terrible against the three. So they're gonna he's gonna be draining threes all in Boston. So
I think there's a chance.
Legitimate game coming up.
I think there's a chance that he actually holds Steph down because you got got Marcus Smart guarding him. You never know what happens there. You never probably get in his bag a little bit, try to get to the rack a little more. But I think it's going to be three heavy regardless. You're playing the Warriors and the Celtics, who are two of the
Saturday
most 3-point shooting
TD,
teams in the league.
Saturday night, the TD Garden, you got a 5-game win streak going into this game. The fans should be excited with this. By the time you go to there, the Boston Red Sox should, if they're playing a night game, they should already be up. Are they playing an afternoon game tomorrow? They're playing 4 p.m. tomorrow. They should have already won their game tomorrow.
Maybe they have
by
a double
the time
header.
You go in there. This is another Boston game tomorrow. We have a double header.
They may be a double header.
No, the double header is going to be on Sunday.
Ah, had to ruin it.
This game is scheduled before. I was invited to go to the Celtics game. I mean, I was invited to go to the Red Sox game. I can't
it
go.
Is on Sunday.
I can't go because of Twins.
Kids, man.
Kids, dude. Kids can't go. I feel like a responsible adult, but I'm not really.
Congratulations. Corey had his kid.
Kairos.
Kairos. Yeah.
That kid has a full set of hair. Like already. Like it has your hair kind. Like
came,
already. Just
came out of the womb, just
there.
Got some lettuce going already.
It's crazy. And
that's weird how that works.
Corey said, I know, my girls barely have any hair. Like at all. they have daddy's hair. I got light hair. Corey said to me, he goes, I gotta admit finally, like I have one and it's like already a handful. He's like, I don't know how the fuck you deal with two.
You got two at one point.
And I'm just like, yeah, I mean, it is what it is. It's awesome. It changes his life. I'm glad that he's taking some time off too. Like I said, man, I can't wait till they get a little older. Like my kids are already crawling on things and standing up on their own with holding it. They're going to be like walking soon. So it's awesome to see it, especially when you get two of them to be able to do it.
Totally.
It's going to be fun to be able to like bring them to games in the future and stuff. I actually want to bring the twins to a Sox game.
Tell me how this works. You've probably done a little research on this. Do you got to buy tickets for them or you just kind of bring them in?
No, you can just bring them in. I actually have a couple people that like work at Fenway Security.
Okay.
And I've asked them to, and they said if their child is 2 and under, they can go for free.
Gotcha.
They sit on your lap.
Okay.
So I
airplanes
this.
Or something.
So I figured this, like we brought the twins into Boston for like their hearing test. They do fantastic when we go out. They're pretty good. They're pretty chill. They're smiling. As long as we keep feeding them, they're good.
Like most people.
I know, like most people. Babies can be a handful. They could be crabby and grumpy.
Totally.
So I said to Michelle, I was like, I would really love to bring them to a Red Sox game, especially when the capacity is at like 2,000 fans or 3,000 fans.
Oh, yeah.
There's so much room. We can go to the bathrooms if we have to change the kids. You don't have to like worry about the bathrooms being mobbed, beer spilled everywhere. Was it kind of a clean, like what's Fenway like? Is it a clean atmosphere right now?
It's so like, clean right now. Just like you know Fenway, like the concourse isn't the size of like some baseball stadiums or some just regular stadiums.
Yeah, small.
It's small,
shoulder,
it's compact,
shoulder, like,
but there's nobody. Like the busiest it will be is when everyone's leaving the stadium at the same point.
Yeah.
That's the only time that it really gets crowded in the concourse, but just everyone kind of coming in at their own pace, like an hour before the game up to first pitch. And then even just during the game, like you'll have people in your section, but it's like, there's probably four seats between you. So
it was weird going to the Celtics game.
The Celtics game was even more spread out than Fenway was.
When I went with Corey, and like it was 5 minutes before tip off, and I just like looked out where the escalators are, and there's nobody coming
in.
We look back on the concourse, and there's nobody there, and you're like, is there even a game going on right now? Like,
that's what happened to me when I went back to the Garden for the first time a few weeks ago in early April. Like I went to Rockets and Hornets games. The Celtics won by a combined like 50 points. But I got up, like, you go up the escalator to the Holy Land. The concourse is just, there's
empty.
There's four people.
But then you're like, oh, is everybody in their seats? Like, you know, sometimes when you're in there, during before timeout, everyone's in their seats, and that's when the concourses are dead.
Right.
You pop your head in, and it just like explodes with everybody there. It wasn't like that. It felt like you're at a high school basketball game.
It was so weird. The only time I really felt the atmosphere is like when everyone's like cheering. Like we were cheering for Taco in the third quarter of both those games. But when you go out at halftime and everyone's getting their refills of beer and chicken tenders, there's actually people like you're hanging out talking with Celtics fans. I met some fellow UConn Huskies up in the concourse. It was a good time. I was happy to be back.
I didn't notice it, but I think everyone was pretty respectful with their masks, like just wearing them.
Yeah.
Like there's people like sitting in their seats. Like I had my mask down sitting in my seat because I'm sitting in my seat and I'm spaced out.
Yeah. There's no one around me. Yeah.
There's no one around me. So I had my mask down. I held a beer just to make it look like I'm drinking.
Oh, exactly.
Now there was a person in the next section that had their mask down, but they're yelling. So I could understand the spit that comes out of your mouth and you're yelling and it projectiles. So they kind of got on him and everyone around us didn't really care. It's just as a society, we just have to mentally somehow get out of this and stop caring about it. I mean, if you're going to these games, it's at your own risk. Like,
and that's what I'm going to feel going to that Texas game at the end of the month. Cause it's going to be kind of like, oh man,
do they have to wear masks inside?
You don't.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting.
It's going to be really weird. Like if you just watch like a Rangers broadcast, you can see
it. I'm interested. Cause you're going to wear a mask. I am. I'm interested if people, cause Texas is fucking weird.
If
people are going to bully you. You're wearing a mask, you fucking loser. Like
I should wear my Japanese jersey, get everything from the Texas folk down there.
Oh boy.
I'll probably wear a Brock Holt jersey, have some mutual feelings, because I think Brock Holt's playing down in Texas right now, so
yeah,
who knows.
I would, you're a target for that. You'll be part of the hashtag easily. Stop Asian hate.
Easily
100% be. Yeah, I would not do that.
All right, I live up to it, but
Celtics
are so much fun.
I can't wait. I don't know what.
Who they got next? Four. Golden State. We were talking about
Golden State. I think they're -4. I might take that -4. I like the -4. I think that they're in their zone right now.
I think they can close that game, especially with a depleted Warriors team. Like Wiseman's out. Steph Curry's the only thing that team has right now. Draymond's not going to score 20 on you.
Draymond steak and cheese sub versus
Jason
Tatum's.
It's happening. GLP. Turkey bacon. Who are you taking? Have you had either of those subs yet?
Sub versus sub.
Have you had either of those subs yet?
No, I haven't had Subway in a long time.
We should try those subs.
Do a taste test.
The bacon one or steak one? I've never been a big diversity guy at Subway.
Did you record any of yourself out when you're out in Minnesota for a little video?
Oh yeah. BW World Tour. We got them. I'll throw BW it on the World channel. Tour, it's happening. So I'll throw it up on the YouTube here in probably a week or so when I can get around to it. But it was a fun time.
King has to go through sponsorships this weekend. I have to put my packages together.
Oh yeah.
I have, I'll tell you off air. One of the interesting things I came up with, I think you might like it. I can't give my secret out.
Yeah. I got to pitch it to me off air.
Can we, let's just wrap this up. Are we wrapping it up? Do we have anything
else? We can wrap it up. Yeah. You got any final thoughts?
My final thought. Yeah. I fucked up on Dogecoin.
I think we all did.
No, because some people around me did not fuck up on it and it hurts even more.
What are we at right now?
I had bought in Dogecoin last summer for $100 and I had 27,000 Dogecoins. And I understand it's a meme. Listen, Dogecoin
it's worth money.
Holds no value, but it's worth money. You just never know what was going to happen. When it had that recent burst where it went from up to 10 cents.
It got up to 40 cents at its highest.
It was up to 50 cents today. It was up to 54 cents. I could be up $10,000 right now if I just held on. That $10,000 would be great for my family right now. But you're not thinking about meme stocks and meme crypto and this and that. I got fucking Corey showing, because Corey never sold. He just held on to it. He's like, I don't care. I sold it because I moved things around. I was trying out stocks and just trying something different. I got Rune Dog texting me saying, yeah, I sold it for $25,000 today. Wow. I got Rune Dog texting me 2 days ago in Ripple. He put $10,000 down in Ripple, $10,000 in Ripple, and it's worth $99,000 now. Rune Dog's on a 2-minute drill. He's on a tear. That guy had to work during the pandemic, had to work for 2 months straight, could not leave his job. Man. They said, we will pay you 40 grand if you stay here for 2 months straight and just work nonstop. And he did that. I think he worked 6 weeks straight or 7 weeks straight.
That's unbelievable.
That 40 grand can set you up long term.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's what he's done over this last year, especially not going out. There was no Patriots season. He didn't have to travel anywhere. So I give credit to him, dude. He's hustling right now.
Money moves.
I'm sitting here sweating over freaking three team parlays, trying to get some diaper money. I'm lost. You see Dogecoin go on that run and you're just like, what's wrong with me?
Do you see what Portnoy tweeted?
I had one Bitcoin sitting in my wallet before Bitcoin blew up and sold it. The Bitcoin was for $500 because I won a bet on Bovada. And at the time they did Bitcoin, it was brand new for them. And it sat there and it grew up to like 900. And I was starting to learn about Bitcoin and I sold it off at like 1500. Cause I was like, oh, this shit's not going to go up. 3 months later, it went up to 20 grand.
That's 60,000 right now.
Now it's 60,000. It was like a peak. Was at like 100, almost 100,000. So
no, it's never gotten that high.
No, it's going to get there.
It will eventually
get there. It stinks. It hurts. It hurts. Oh, I feel dumb. I feel dumb. And like,
I probably had 5,000 Dogecoin a few months ago. One of my coworkers at work told us all about it the day before it blew up, and the very next day at work, everyone's just watching it online, following it close and seeing how much money we were making. And then it dropped and everyone's like, quick sell, quick sell, quick sell. And then like that, you can't even see where it fell off at that point now, just cause it was stagnant at like 5 cents for 2 months. And now I think it could legitimately get to a dollar.
I think it might. So I read that like 25% of Dogecoin is owned by like one person. The second they sell it off, it crashes everything that's there. So
that's wild.
Oh, I feel like a fucking loser.
It works.
My
it's
time
all right.
will come again. That's why Babs needs to work on his sponsorship pack. She's got to get back to the grind.
Of course. Put our head down.
I was on the top of the world in 2018, dude.
Hey, we all were.
The Patriots run. Then the next year, getting a sponsorship, I was feeling great. And then COVID came, and then I injured my back, and I was at surgery, and then I had twins, which they're a blessing. Don't get me wrong. But so you have twins, you have kids, can't do as much as you used to. We need to make a comeback tour. You're on your comeback tour. Spike King needs to come on his comeback.
I think I'm officially all the way back at this point after already like three trips in the last month, and the Sox, Celtics, Bruins all winning again, and something to look forward to in the Patriots upcoming season. We are all the way back. All the way back. More so than...
We're going to celebrate. I feel like we're going to celebrate a championship this year.
We got to.
I think Boston's going to celebrate one.
I think if there's one team that's going to break through, it's going to be the Bruins this year. I think there's a good chance that they can finally piece together a few good games in the playoffs this summer. I think there's a chance that there's going to be some duck boats out.
What are they going to do for the hockey? Are they going to do like a bubble?
No, that bubble's dead.
So what's going to happen with Canada coming down here to the United States?
Get all their vaccines and set up somewhere. I'm not sure. Vaccines are going to be readily available by the time playoffs come around. So
yeah, that's why I'm saying, New Hampshire already lifted their mask mandate, so you don't have to wear a mask.
Right. Yeah. I saw that.
They actually last summer, like people weren't wearing masks. They were very loose about it. But now that vaccines are out,
because there's like 10 people that live in New Hampshire.
Rhode Island will probably end up being the next one, I'm sure. Like all these surrounding states will end up doing it for Massachusetts.
I think like Maine, Vermont, you got to get those woods states out of the way. That'll be the first ones. But then it'll work its way down. And then once a state like New York or Mass does it, then it's going to be like legit. You know what I mean? But my closing thoughts today, I really don't have anything. WNBA. Give them some love. Every single team dropped three brand new jerseys, which was just sick. And all the jerseys, they're not like covered in logo sponsors anymore of like Verizon or whatever the local sponsor is for the team. It's like a legit like team jersey. There's some very cool ones. I think one of my favorite ones is from the Indiana Fever. They've got like a Stranger Things type jersey. Do you ever watch that show on Netflix?
I've never seen that show.
I definitely recommend it. It's a fun show. Good watch. I'm still part of like the generation. I love that like sci-fi 80s type stuff. So I love that crap. And they have like a cool jersey. Very cool. But also my last thing too, we had that Final Four, like predictions, like we all guessed our Final Fours. And I think it was a perfect tie because all three of us had two Final Four teams. None of us picked the champion though.
But I should win the tiebreaker. Wait a minute. Cause yeah. I had Gonzaga as the champion.
Right.
So that means that I picked them to be in the championship game.
Right.
Tyler didn't pick them to be in the game. There was no championship tiebreaker. You never put the tiebreaker out there. I technically should get the tiebreaker.
Or should I? Because I picked the lower seeds to make the Final Four.
No, I should get it. I picked
the champion. I should get it.
That was a crappy game.
That national championship was pretty lackluster.
Did we even talk about it? Did we even have one?
No, we haven't talked about it since.
We haven't talked in a while. Wow, that felt like 2 months ago.
I know. It was two weeks ago.
It was the beginning of April.
Let's close on the final four. Close on the Final Four. Jalen Suggs had that buzzer beater against UCLA, all-time shot to go to the championship, and then Gonzaga just lays their first egg of the season.
Well, I talked to my boy T-Guns, shout out to T-Guns. He was like, Baylor's defense is just going to eat them alive. He's like, Gonzaga hasn't played a real team all season.
Yeah.
And they were supposed to play each other earlier in that season, and they didn't.
COVID.
Gonzaga knew that they would lose. Gonzaga knew it. So they were like, we're not playing them. Gonzaga knew.
Fake a COVID.
And then the Gonzaga excuse will be, well, they had to play an overtime game. They had to go to overtime.
And none of us had an awesome game. That game was unbelievable. Yeah, like that was one of those emotional games where it just takes all your energy out. And then you're playing two nights later, you just got nothing left, you know, but that run by Gonzaga alone going undefeated up until the last game of the season. And then give some love to UCLA who had just an unbelievable run. Nobody but local people in Los Angeles and maybe UCLA students that had no idea what was going on. Had them in their Final Four. And that was just an all-time run by Johnny Juzang, who's almost had like a Kemba Walker type run. If they had won that championship, I think it would have been right next to Kemba's.
I was going to say, what's great about March Madness and actually having it this year is now that when we have the NBA draft,
you know,
you're going to see some highlights. You'll see some highlights and stuff from March Madness. March Madness was the official kickoff of sports really coming back.
It feels like. Exactly.
We had the NFL season and it was there. But I feel like March Madness is like the new season of sport.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean?
Because you get to the closing time. You get to the stretch runs of
Super Bowl like ends the year of sports.
Right.
Even though they have like basketball and hockey are there. Yeah. Baseball kind of starts it. But it's March Madness that starts the new season of sports.
Right. I totally agree.
And even though that you can, well, Babs, we're already in the middle of hockey and basketball. It doesn't matter. No, those don't really start till after the All-Star break anyways. That's when you really start paying attention to the basketball. Right.
But March Madness, lackluster finale, but having sports come back. I remember there was a good article on The Athletic, kind of like how you were talking about. It's the return of sports that like really put the TV ratings to the test because it was kind of like seeing our fans engaged, how many people are actually tuning back in versus the last few seasons of the Final Four. And apparently fans are coming back to watch sports at an all-time rate because things are slowly reopening. Fans are engaged again. People actually care about what's going on. And then my favorite part of March Madness after the championship, after a lackluster championship, I think I've said it on the show before. It's the one shining moment video. It's just all time. Like you could watch, I challenge anyone. Just go watch those one shining moment videos and not get excited for college basketball to finally come back next year. Those videos just kind of highlight the emotion, the intensity of just the sport of basketball. And these kids just giving it everything they got to go get their moment on the hardwood. It was a ton of fun. Definitely a memorable March Madness, not an all-time March Madness, but definitely some magical Cinderella runs and a well-deserved champion. So that was a lot of info. That was a lot, like the last 2 weeks of sports for both of us, but we can definitely wrap it up here.
I need to see my live update of my game from earlier.
Gotcha. So you won't see Babs, but my name's Brandon. That was the Spike King. Oh my God.
Let's go, dude. I got one game left. I took
parlay.
I took five unders. I did $38. It was to win like 900 and something, but it was five unders in baseball. And so like, I'm starting to get into Brendan. I'm not a baseball guy, but betting is bringing me back into the game. Mm-hmm. It does. You know, I need to get my reps in for when Massachusetts fully legalizes. Congratulations, Arizona.
We did it.
You guys did it. We're a little bit behind. It's going to come, but I took five games with five unders. Now the Mets game didn't exist. DeGrom was pitching today. I was like, and I feel bad for him because I bet the Mets beforehand. They can't give any run support for him. He pitches gems. Game got postponed. So now that ruins my bet a little bit. I don't know what the payout's going to be, but I took the under in the Nationals. Arizona game was 1-0 was the final.
Wow.
I took under in San Francisco versus Miami. It was 8.5 runs. They only scored 5. I took the under in Pittsburgh, Milwaukee. Final score, the under. Over-under was 8. Final score, 6-1. Mm-hmm. 7 runs. I had the under. 8 runs, Dodgers. And I think the Dodgers and Rockies.
Oh, I don't know about that one.
It's a 2-1 game right now in the top of the 6th. So,
yeah, who knows?
I'm going to be sweating it. The 3 runs already. I got a little cushion.
If you like those under bets, you got to try the Nerfies. So no runs what in the first, that? No runs yeah, in the first
no
inning,
runs in the first inning.
It I is feel. So much fun. Just 6 outs, so 6 outs. And I've you double
seen,
your money.
I've seen those bets. Even and you can do not even that. No runs in like any inning. Like yeah. It just keeps popping up. That's scary.
It's
I don't
fun.
Think I have the balls to touch those.
Six outs to double your money.
Though. But I will say I've been touching like tomorrow, the Celtics game. I will take the -4.
Okay.
All right.
That's your best
I will
bet.
I will take them at halftime and I'll take them first quarter. So like I'll do 200. I'll do 200 for them to win it, but I'll do $50 and $50. And I try to see if that can either cancel out or you try to get ahead right there. Yeah. 100.
Maybe bet the so Warriors in the fourth quarter.
That's what I look at.
Maybe bet the Warriors in the fourth quarter based on the way the Celtics have played in the fourth quarter. If Brad continues to play that bench.
Oh yeah. So bet the Warriors second half or something.
Yeah.
And then like,
exactly.
Know that they're going to come. Yeah. Know that they'll come back or something. And I will take Steph Curry. Threes. Oh,
take the over all day.
Take the over. I take the over on everything when it
it's
comes
gonna
to
be Kemba guarding. Kemba, like my guy Kemba, is not great on defense, but it still works.
Kemba Walker's point totals are always like 18.5 over under, and he under every single time. 2 games ago, I actually touched it the over, and he went over. It was against
the
Trailblazers.
Touch. Got the magic.
But
touch.
He like with Kemba scores like 8 points in the first quarter and you don't see him again until the fourth.
And then
he
just
literally just disappears. Kemba.
It works. It's his game.
But it's just like, I don't, you pay all this guy all his money. Like you feel like he should be somebody that's there all the time. And I don't like that Jason Tatum starts the game and they take him out halfway through the first. You just don't see him until the second. Like,
well, you don't Tatum want all those three guys. You want to have one of them on the court at all times. That's the way Brad's playing them.
And it works.
It works.
I hope the fucking Dodgers game hits, dude. I need a big night.
That'd
I
be
told
all time.
You, I'd be bringing a good mood. I think I was in a good mood today.
Oh, absolutely. 2-0 on parlays in a day. You can't beat that. Come on.
That would be nice. That's nice.
Absolutely. Well, we'll wrap up here actually this time. Thank you for tuning in. Episode 97, Boston's Big 3. May all your parlays hit. Godspeed. See you next time.